C.D. Dodd said this, Romans is the greatest work of Christian theology. No one in 2,000 years has written anything to match it. One of the early church fathers said this, he had the epistle of Romans read to him twice every week.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day, everyone. We're delighted you've joined us today. We're excited today to bring you Pastor Bill's teaching from the New Testament Epistle of Romans. Now, if you've never studied this book in depth, I promise you, you won't be disappointed. For the next several weeks, Pastor Bill will take us through this epistle line by line and verse by verse. It's going to be a great time. Now let's join Pastor Bill for today's message, What is the Gospel?
Amen. Let's turn our Bibles this morning as we begin a brand new book, the book of Romans. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful study. You know, the book of Romans is one of my favorite books. Matter of fact, I consider it the greatest book that has ever been written on the face of this planet. You know, when we study out the book of Romans, especially the introduction this morning, these 17 verses, it is vital that we understand that Paul is telling us what the gospel is, and that's the title of this sermon, What is the Gospel? Romans has been described, if you will, as the gospel taught to believers. But then, you know what? A lot of believers are confused on what the gospel really is. Some believers are even confused on how a person comes to Christ and how to be saved. We're going to find out all of this. What's wonderful about Romans is we're going to cover 11 chapters in depth before God asks us to do anything. 11 chapters, he's going to tell us who we are in Christ, how we've been saved, how we've been cleansed, that we're sons and daughters, that nothing will ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, all the way through to the end of chapter 11. And then Paul writes, he says, and I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, the mercies of David, that you will present yourselves as a what? Living sacrifice. In other words, God has done all those things for you. How can we not obey the Lord then? See, God always tells us first what he's done for us before he asks us to do what he wants us to do. Amen? Very important to know that. Romans is all about the gospel. It's all about the good news, and it's written by Paul, remember, there when in Acts when he was at Corinth on his third missionary tour around AD 57, around that in that time period. We don't really know who started the church at Rome. I mean, we know the Lord did, but meaning what individual he used. It could have been someone from Acts chapter 2, from Pentecost. We don't know. And of course, it wasn't Peter that started the church there. Is that okay for me to say? Don't be mean. I already tortured the first service, man. No, it's like, you know, I told the first service, I said, listen, this has been the strangest weekend and strangest morning. I said, I woke up this morning, the first thing I had to deal with was a screaming wife. I'm trying to finish up this sermon. I struggled all day yesterday. I never usually struggle. And I was thinking, Lord, do you not want me to go into Romans? Do you want me to teach Sunday on eternal damnation or something? What is it, you know? And all of a sudden, I hear my wife screaming as I'm trying to finish up about 5:30 this morning, you know, and going, oh, Lord, you know. And all of a sudden, she's going, there's a rat, there's a rat, there's a rat. I thought she meant my next door neighbor. I'm teasing. So I go out and I catch that rat. It was huge. Oh, hey. And I throw him in my neighbor's yard. And then there's a snake. Yeah, and now I'm dealing with sheep. What kind of day is this, all right? Romans is a great, great study. Paul had never visited Rome. He doesn't really know the people there. He knows, of course, a few that are there. But the thing is, it was the good news in Romans that Martin Luther one day, he read verse 17 of chapter 1, that the just shall live by faith. And when he read that, his whole life was transformed. He was the one who, remember, he could not understand the righteousness of God and how a man could even be saved hardly. But then the Lord revealed that to him, and from that came what's called the Great Reformation period. It was John Wesley who there was back in England, and then he heard someone reading just the preface, if you will, the introduction of Luther's commentary on Romans, and it says, he said, right there I stopped when I heard those words. And my heart was strangely warmed, and I knew then I was born from above. Listen, some say this, that every great revival that has ever happened in our nation and abroad has always begun with the teaching of the book of Romans. I believe that. I believe that God is going to do something to this church as we go through this incredible 16 chapters, and that you don't miss any of it. We're going to go in depth on what it all of it means. C.D. Dodd said this. He said, the greatest work, Romans is the greatest work of Christian theology. No one in 2,000 years has written anything to match it. One of the early church fathers said this. He had the epistle of Romans read to him twice every week. I believe this incredible 16 chapters penned by Paul through the power of the Holy Spirit is the greatest letter ever written on the face of the earth. Romans is all about the good news. It's about the gospel. And we're going to learn in detail all that those things mean. Now, the key word this morning is in Romans. It begins in verse 1, and just look at it. I'm going to take you through a few verses, and this key word is what's going to give us the theme for the book of Romans. Verse 1, it says, separated to the what? Gospel, okay, of God. Verse 2, meaning which God had promised, meaning the gospel, the good news. Verse 9, the gospel of his son. Verse 15, Paul says, I'm ready to preach the gospel. So we know that that key word will lead us to the very theme of the book of Romans. And look at it. It's in verse 16, two verses, where Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the good news. I'm not ashamed of the birth and the death and the resurrection and the ascension of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said, I'm not ashamed of that at all. Why? For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first, also the Greek, for in it, meaning in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, just as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Loved one, listen. What is the gospel? The gospel is all about one man, about Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. The gospel is not really about you. It's about what God has done for you. Amen? That's why it's called good news. Man doesn't have good news. God has great news. Amen? Not only that, every Christian should have a grasp of this book. The doctrine of sanctification, the doctrine of justification. Oh, listen, some of the greatest doctrines in the Bible are found here in this book. And look how Paul begins. I love this now, talking about what is the gospel. Paul says, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated or set apart to the gospel of God. What a way to introduce. You ever write to mom, hey, mom, I'm just a slave of Jesus Christ? I'm a doulos. I'm a bondservant. What is Paul saying? He's saying, I met the Lord on the Damascus Road. I was changed, and now my will was swallowed up in the will of another. It's no longer I who liveth, but Christ who lives in me. It's I serve him. I only want to please him. For me to live is Christ. Amen? Oh, for this church to say that. For all of us to be able to say that. Man, I pray that a revolution will occur. I pray before September a revolution will occur across our land, meaning a revolution in Christ, where the moving of the Holy Spirit pours out abundantly across this nation. We need it. We must have it. The things that are coming. Oh, but we know God's in control. And I sit here and I say, oh, God, you're so good. The greatest freedom on earth is found in one man. The man Christ Jesus. If you want to be set free, get in Christ. That's the only way. You know, Paul says, I'm a slave, but God doesn't make slaves. Jesus doesn't make slaves. Jesus frees the slaves. Amen? You know, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you what? Free. The truth that you know and apply to your life will set you absolutely free. You know, it was because of Adam and Eve, what they did in the garden, when they blew it, when they sinned. They literally became a slave, if you will. They left the authority of God. You know, that's why man lost all of their freedoms, all of our freedoms. We became a slave to self, a slave to the devil, a slave to the world. You know, because why? Adam walked out on the Lord. So there is freedom found only in one man, and that is in our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, I'm an apostle. That means one who is sent with the authority of a king. I'm on a commission, Paul says, meaning the words that I'm writing are not really from me. They're from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? Now listen, when was Paul set apart? It says, I was set apart for the gospel. When was he set apart? Was he set apart in Acts chapter 9 at his conversion when he met the Lord on the road to Damascus? No. Was he set apart later on in Acts chapter 13 when the Holy Spirit set him apart? No. He was set apart before he was ever born by God. Think about that. You were set apart for God before the world was ever made. Listen, think about that for a moment. What did Paul tell us in Galatians 1:15? Watch this now. It says, but when it pleased God, in other words, in God's perfect exact timing, God who separated me, set me apart from my mother's womb, God who called me through his grace. Did God call Paul because he was a brilliant man? He was a brilliant man, but no, or his skill or his potential. No, it says, who called me through his grace. His unmerited favor, the divine favor of God. Why did God call him? Here it is. To reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. Well, loved one, listen. Why did God choose you? Why did God separate you? Why are you here this morning? You know why? Because Jesus wants to live in your life. Jesus wants to get out to this world, and the only way he does so is through his body. I just thank God. Listen, man played absolutely no part in the calling of Paul. He was saved by the Lord himself. Amen? Think about that for a moment. And you know what? Paul wasn't a mistake. You know, yes, he caused havoc in the church. He put Christians in prison. He caused them to denounce, blaspheme the Lord Jesus Christ. But when God sees Paul, he doesn't see him that way. He sees him as the writer of 13, perhaps 14 books of the New Testament. He sees him as one of the greatest apostles and missionary that ever walked this earth. He sees a man that says, I want nothing but the will of God. And you know what? That's the way God sees you. He sees you finished. Amen? He sees you already seated in heaven. We have a glorious, incredible, wonderful gospel. No one on earth is as free as a believer. Thank God. I just praise God that he saved me. Amen. That he saved you as well. Listen, it says, and Paul was set apart now for what? One thing, the good news of God. What is the gospel? Well, first of all, the gospel came not from man. It came from heaven. It came from God Almighty. It was not man that so loved the world. It's God that so loved the world that he did something. He sent his only begotten son. Amen? So the gospel is from God. He's the source of the good news. And it really is good news to be forgiven, to be cleansed, to be made whole, to heal. Oh, how God does so many things in our life. You know, at the moment of conversion, the moment that we trusted the good news, we're completely and radically changed throughout. Our names written in the Lamb's book of life. But God is the source of the gospel. Look here. He promised it in verse 2. It says, which he, meaning God, promised. And when did he promise the gospel? Watch this now. Before, through the prophets in the holy scriptures. Now, that means the Old Testament. All the messianic prophecies about our Lord. So really, the gospel, the good news, is not really new, even though, yes, it is new to us. But it wasn't an afterthought with God. See, the promise, it says there, look at it again. It says God's promised before. What promise was that? When did the promise begin? Did you know that God made the promise of the gospel literally all the way back in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sold out Genesis 3, verse 15? Let me read it to you. And God says, and I will put enmity between you, he's talking to the devil, Satan, I'll put enmity between you and the woman, meaning Eve, between your seed, meaning the devil's seed, the children of the devil, and her seed, and he shall bruise or crush your head, and you shall bruise his heel, which is speaking of the crucifixion. Well, you know, if you had your Bibles open to Genesis 3:15, you don't necessarily need to turn there because I'm going to move forward. But whenever it says her seed, Eve's seed, it's a capital S. That is signifying not many seeds, but one particular seed is going to come forth, who's going to crush a mighty blow to Satan, who's going to save us. And who was that? It was our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Absolutely. So when you look through the seeds of the Bible, like Jesus, he was a seed of woman, meaning Mary. He came to crush Satan's head. And then he was also the seed of Abraham to open up all the household of faith to save them. He was also, we're going to find out now, the seed of David, which fulfilled all the messianic prophecies. Look at verse 3. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the what? The seed of David. But look how he was born. According to the flesh. This right here is the incarnation. This is God becoming man, the God-man. It says concerning Jesus Christ. The good news is all about what Jesus has done for us, what he's done for man. Because we can't do anything for ourselves to get into heaven. Only one way to get to heaven, okay? Listen, there's no good news without our Lord. And God promised all the way back there. Remember in 2 Samuel 7:2, it says this, and when your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, God speaking to Nathan and them speaking to David, I will set up your seed after you and it'll come from your body. I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever and ever and ever and ever. Who are we talking about? We're talking about Jesus our Lord. Amen. Listen, Joseph and Mary. Joseph was from the lineage of David. Joseph was the legal father, not the father, the legal father of our Lord. Mary, the natural birth occurred. She was from the lineage of David as well. By that, that gave Jesus, just like it says in 2 Samuel where I read, the legal right to sit upon the throne. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's ruling. All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto him. Amen. Now, with all that being said, we move from his earthly nature, if you will, to the divine nature. Verse 4, and it says, and he was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. You know, when you think of our Lord, I mean, can you imagine never making a mistake? Think about it. Never making a mistake. Never being too early or too late. Never making a wrong move, never making a wrong judgment, never having an impure thought, never having your conscience ever bother you, never being afraid of anything. Think about that for a moment. I mean, perfect. Everything you do is perfect. Every thought you think is absolutely perfect. I mean, he never had to apologize ever. I apologize all the time. I had to go repent when I threw the rat over my neighbor's yard. I don't know why I did that. Why didn't I just let him go? What was that? That old man in me, you know, the old fallen nature. Here, take that rat, man. All right, I know you've never done anything that evil. I mean, he never had to retract one statement that he made. Why? The Spirit of holiness. Jesus is God, the God-man. He's 100% human. He is 100% God. He's not God and man. He's the God-man. Do you understand? That is so vital. Listen, when we get to heaven, we're going to see Jesus, just the same Jesus, the way he ascended. Remember? The resurrected Lord. That's who we're going to see. We're going to be like him when we see him. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 7:26, for we have such a high priest that was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, that means unstained, separate from sinners, and he's become higher than the heavens. Listen, that's our great high priest. Jesus did not become the Son of God by the resurrection. The resurrection proved that Jesus was the Son of God. Amen? But it not only proved that, it proved that every word of God in the Bible is true. It proved that the virgin birth is true. It proved also that Jesus is coming back. He's coming back first for his church, and then he's coming what we call the second coming. Jesus may be coming soon. We don't know. We have no idea. We're watching and we're waiting. But I know this, our Savior is not dead. If I There is no way in my own personal life now. Do you ever just, when you read the Bible, you go, it's hard to believe it's true sometimes. I know it's true, don't get me wrong, but you go, this is unbelievable. I mean, there really is a heaven. There is a place there. There's a celestial city that we're all going to see. Think about it. We might not get along, all of us together right now, but we'll get along up there. God will kill you. I'm teasing. You know, we're not going to have any anger. We're not going to have any resentment. We're not going to have any bitterness. We're not going to have any sadness. We're not going to have any tears. We're not going to ever see or hear or talk about death again. Amen? Why? Because of the gospel. Jesus tasted death for every one of us, for every man. I look and I say, oh, God, you're so good. Jesus is alive. He's here right now. Something's coming. Something's coming to this nation. I pray it's revival. I pray that there's a mighty rushing wind blowing across this nation like never before, because there's destruction on every end of our nation and in the middle as well. We need God. We need God to rend the heavens and come down and shake this nation again. Amen? Oh, I pray that happens. Now look at verse 5. And Paul says, now through him, in this introduction, now that's all we're doing is our introduction. It says, through him we have, meaning we have it right now, present tense, what? Well, grace, that unmerited, unearned favor of God, and apostleship, and look for the purpose, for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you are also the called of Jesus Christ. What is the gospel for? The gospel is to be taken to all the nations. Amen? Did you know that there is not another word, there's not another gospel, there's not another religion that can save a man? I don't care how many religions we have on the face of this planet. I don't care how many new roads man builds to say, go this way and you're going to make it. No, there's only one way, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we have embraced that, and we're saved because of it. Amen? Now, with all of that being said here, this mission field, it says all of the world. And then he says in verse 7, to all who are in Rome, watch these words, beloved of God, called to be what? Saints. Grace to you, peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, that's good news. Now, if you look in your Bible there in that verse where it says called to be saints, you'll probably see the words to be, and they are in italics. Is that correct? Okay, when you see that in your Bible, that means that the translators inserted that to try to make it maybe more understandable, but it's not in the Greek language. So it really should read this. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called saints. Amen? Called saints. You are a saint of God. You're set apart by God. God loves you. Listen, you know, I hear somebody say, well, you know, you hear on the news, going to be a saint. Well, how are you going to get to be a saint? Man can't make saints. Well, they have to have at least two miracles. Well, maybe three. I don't know. I can't remember all the doctrine of that. But I'm not trying to be critical. I'm just going, that doesn't make a saint. You're either a saint or you ain't. You got it? There's no middle ground there, okay? And listen, a saint is one who's been separated by Almighty God. And here's the good news. We, all of us, we are saints. Saints of God. Separated unto God. We're owned by God. We're His people. We're the saints of Jesus Christ. We're the body of Christ. Listen, you talk about a gospel. You talk about incredible grace. Listen, only the saints of God live under the grace of God. The unearned, unmerited, divine, eternal favor of God. We are going to live and experience with the eternal grace of God forever and ever and ever and ever. Oh, look at the other word, peace. Only peace, only a believer, a saint, has peace with God. Peace with the creator of all. And I say, oh God, you're so good. You're so good. But the one I love the most is where it says, beloved of God. That literally would read, God's loved ones. You hear me say, loved one, listen. That's where I get that from. We're the object of God's love. I mean, you say, well, Bill, I'm hurting. I've got in trouble. I'm telling you, you are the object of God's love.
That's all our time for today, but join us tomorrow for the conclusion to this message. And as always, we thank you for listening along with us and pray that you have an awesome day. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.